The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Wherever and whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to one and all. You can listen to the Phil Mason Show each and every day at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels, at 10 p.m. Eastern on TalkSuperStation.com, and at various times on Armed Forces Radio, Cosmic Radio, and that's throughout the day, by the way. I'd like to welcome you all to the Phil Mason Show. Man, do I have a great show planned for you today. Joining me for the full hour from SLCDunk.com, please welcome Mr. Amar to the show. Amar, how you doing, man? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, feeling great. Can't wait to get to it.
Yeah, me neither. This is going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, we had a good little bunch of feedback last week. You've got a great bunch over there at SLCDunk.com, huh?
Yeah, I love them, but most of them seem to be on summer vacation right now.
Probably so. But that's okay, because we'll get their attention tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, you bet.
I'm sure we will. Anyway, so what's new over at SLC Dunk?
Well, most of everything on the actual NBA calendar is over. The draft is over. The summer league is over. Free agency, for the most part, is over. And most of the players are actually either rehabbing from injuries or just hanging out doing whatever they want. There isn't much new, but that doesn't mean that the ball stops during the off season. Last year we had a ton of content, and what's going to be happening starting next week is that we're going to be doing more history sections where we're going to be looking at previous seasons and previous games and trying to figure out what went right, what went wrong, and can we learn anything from this and apply it to this season.
That sounds interesting, that's for sure.
Well, the main thing is that we have a very unique situation because we've never had a team that had so much turnover from one season to the next, and we've never really gone super young. So we're trying to find analogs to what we've done in the past and try and look at some of the other teams in the league that have done pretty much the same. And, you know, are we the Milwaukee Bucks from 1994, or are we the Detroit Pistons from, you know, 2010? You know, we have to figure out who we are.
Well, that absolutely makes sense. Now, how far back are you going to go?
Honestly, I'm probably going to go all the way back to the 1980s, because I think that you have to go before Stockton and Malone. Otherwise, you have a very flawed data set. We have to look at how we did back when we were a team that was never winning any games and never going to the playoffs. So the first time the Jazz went to the playoffs was in the early 80s. And we have to work our way backwards from that point and say, how do we get from being a lottery team to being a team that's actually in the playoffs? We can't look at it saying that, oh, well, if you draft a Hall of Famer, then it's going to work out, because I don't know if we actually have one right now on the team.
Right now you don't.
Right, unless there's something that we don't know. And
yeah,
I'm
Trey,
totally
Burke,
okay
Trey
with.
Burke might be the next Hall of Famer. You never know.
Well, if he keeps listening to us every week.
Yeah, you never know.
He may just have the motivation.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I'm finding quite often now, the last maybe 2-3 years, is that teams are out there intentionally not putting together the best product possible in the hopes that they get a higher lottery pick. They call it tanking. What do you think about tanking in the NBA? Do you think that really occurs, or what do you think about that?
It's a very, very touchy subject in Utah, because a lot of the fans have this noble idea that you should never, ever, under any circumstance, purposely be worse than you actually are, which is a great sentiment. But with today's current NBA, the way that the salary cap is, the way that certain teams are not equal, and that's the thing, like, there was a lockout. They didn't do anything to make parity in the league. So if you're a team that isn't attractive in the free agent market, one third of the ways that you get a star is already taken out, because then you're only left with trading for the draft. And if you put all of your eggs into the basket of the draft, why wouldn't you want to maximize your returns by purposely taking one step back to take three steps forward? I see why teams tank. I don't actually know how I feel about it because it kind of changes almost every week or so because, you know, you play the game to win the game. But, you know, if you look at our team from last year, there's just no way that you're going to win the game with Al Jefferson as your main man. So, I don't know. Like, I think that teams do tank. It works out for the teams that win it. But if you look at the last 20 years of the NBA draft lottery, the team that is the worst team very rarely gets the first pick.
That's exactly right, by the way. Exactly right. There's no secret formula. But the thing that bothers me is, do these teams who don't put together their best product possible, do they lower their ticket prices?
Absolutely not. I actually know that the Utah Jazz, I believe, raised their ticket prices last year or the year before. And while some may contest that they were not tanking, they were not playing the right players to ensure as many wins as possible. And that's based upon national observers and analytical data. So the Jazz raised ticket prices. They were not putting out the best product on the floor. And they ended up getting the lottery picks that they needed to move up in the draft and get, hopefully, a generational player. But, you know, the jury will be out.
Yeah, I don't like the tanking bit at all.
Well, especially because you want teams to fight for it. Whereas, like, the end of the season, some teams just don't even care. Like, they will lose games they're supposed to win. Probably the best example, sorry for cutting you off, was the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago, where they ensured a loss at home to a really bad team, the New Orleans Hornets. Like, they lost to the Hornets. And they lost by goaltending a last-second jumper, you know, to make sure that the other team got the 2 points and they lost the game.
Well, why would anyone do that? That doesn't make sense to me, is to go out and lose on purpose. Now, I know in tennis they do that. They call it tanking, but tanking is a dirty word in tennis. If you tank, that means you're thrown in the towel. That means you're a quitter. You're a coward. And that's not a good sign for anyone. But in basketball, it seems to be acceptable. And I don't understand why. Why fans don't vote with their feet and just refuse to go to the games. Especially, like what you dictated, that Utah actually raised their prices knowing they didn't even put a decent product out on the court.
Yeah, and
what does it deal with that?
The fans actually did a lot of voting because they did not show up to a lot of games. And the seats were very, very empty and the arena was very, very quiet. And I think that kind of precipitated a number of changes from last year to this year so far in the off season. But I agree with you. I think that some teams, they just figure, hey, we're not contenders. Let's try and not even try. Let's just go out there, play poorly, and hope for a miracle. And I guess that's maybe, you know, to go off topic, a reflection of today's society, that I met somebody who, instead of deciding to try and look into the want ads, wanted some money so he could go to McDonald's and hopefully win they have a Monopoly promotion right now, and he wanted to win $1 million from eating hamburgers instead of, you know, working on his resume. So that's kind of funny. That would be tanking. That's tanking your health.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's true. But this is just remarkable. And teams that are considered to be tanking this year would be the Philadelphia 76ers. And I've had Michael Levin on the show where he says basically they're rebuilding. The Phoenix Suns are another team that are considered to be tanking. The Magic are considered to be tanking again because they didn't get their first round draft, their lottery pick from their tanking last year. The Bobcats and the Celtics. Do you think the Celtics are tanking too?
I actually think that the Celtics were, they're in a funny situation where they have such a historical model that they have to live up to, so that in a situation where they trade their good players for a quote-unquote future, it looks like they're not trying to win a title. And I think that you can argue that they are not trying to win the title this year. And I guess that fan base is a little bit spoiled by their 19 banners, that if you're not trying to win the title, then what exactly are you doing? Why are you wasting our time? I actually think that the Celtics have an interesting roster. They have a number of assets that they're coming in. They have a lot of young guys that they can move if they need to. They're not going for the title this year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're tanking. It just means that they're, you know, in a development mode. And it's kind of funny because, you know, they still have Rajon Rondo, who's going to be coming back, and Jeff Green may blossom. He averaged 20 points in the playoffs last year. You know, without Rondo, imagine how many more points he's going to get playing with a great point guard. So I actually don't know. Maybe the Celtics are kind of conceding that they're not going to beat Miami this year, especially after making sure that they could trade two of their players to go to where they wanted to go so that they have a chance at a ring. But I kind of feel bad for the Celtics fans because they are used to so much. But as a Utah Jazz fan that has zero rings, I will say, oh, boo-hoo, you guys aren't going to win the title this year. That has been every year of me being a Jazz fan.
That makes sense, because I've been a Knicks fan and a Celtics fan my whole life, so I like them both. I like to see the Knicks or the Celtics win. And I don't think they're tanking. I don't think that Danny Ainge is going to tank. I think you're right. Jeff Green's going to have a pretty good year, but people seem to think because they traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce away that they're giving up the season for a lottery pick. And that's just not the case. They gave up those two guys and they have six first-round picks over the next 3 years.
Yeah, and like that's actually going to do you better in the long run than trying to hold on to the old core for diminishing returns.
Especially under the new CBA.
Precisely, because this is a win move for the Celtics. It's just not a win move for this season. And I think most Celtics fans will be able to understand that.
Not the ones on Twitter.
Yeah, of course not. Because can you imagine if this is like, oh, well, they traded Parrish. How dare they trade Parrish? Let's kill him.
Yeah, that's what they do. You know, and the Twitter's wild. I don't do Twitter that much, but the Twidiots, I've had some fun with the Twidiots. I'm sure you have too, right?
I'm probably technically a Twidiot myself. So, because sometimes I'll just say something to get a rise out of somebody else. But it's very funny that the way that social media works, it gives a voice to people that you would normally not talk to, but at the same time, it gives an immediacy which removes that whole cooler heads will prevail. I remember after some bad losses, people would just be so frustrated that they would lash out and they wouldn't actually want to hear something positive. They'd be like, well, how can you be tweeting that? We just lost. You should, you know, self-flagellate yourself or something. Whereas if I was just making a joke about it, but no, Twitter's a wild animal. I try and stay on it all the time because that's where most of the breaking news comes from, but man, there's some animals on there.
Yeah, there sure are. You know, I've seen Tim Legler have his family threatened on Twitter.
Great. Yeah. That's just disgusting.
And there's this thing called publicshaming.com where...
Oh, no, I haven't even heard of that.
Okay, there's this... I think it's called public shaming. Anyway, what they do is they find these tweets from the Twidiots who, like, pick on athletes and say stupid things, and they kill them. I think it's called public shaming. And we've used that site on this show a couple times to highlight some stupidity. But, yeah, social media definitely plays its part. I involve myself with it a lot at first, and now I don't really do that because I have all media guys on my show now. So, you know, I tweeted out once, and then I posted up on my show page, and I posted up on two forums where I know everybody pretty much. and that's it. But social media does have its strong points, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it completely does, because you're able to get stuff like Deshaun Stevenson, who was just released by the Hawks, saying, hey, LeBron, I want to join the Heat, make it happen. So social media is a place where people, in certain specific situations, are able to get an interesting message across, and especially for us people who are writing about sports, it gives us a lot to write about.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. I usually don't pick up too much from there, but then I'm never on it. Probably that's why. But I usually stick to like SB Nation, ESPN. I go over to Grantland, get my stuff from them usually. But there was an article, and this is a good conversation for another time, I guess, with social media. But there was an article that quite a few of you guys took part in. It's called the NBA Power Rankings.
Yeah, it was all spearheaded by, the name is escaping me right now. I feel really bad.
I would say Jason, Jason Pat.
Yeah, Jason, he wrote the post, but, we were trying to get more and more people to be involved in this. I believe there's over 30 basketball type of specific pro basketball blogs at SB Nation, and we were only able to get 20-something to participate in this, which kind of sucks, but at the same time, the post you're talking about is where everybody got a chance to have their say and basically rank the NBA teams from number 1 to number 30, and then we try and get some sort of aggregate consensus type of average of, you know, who thinks this team is going to be good, who thinks this team is going to be bad, and which teams are just going to be in the middle. And, well, it's kind of a fluff piece, but at the same time, it's kind of a chance where you can look at each other's homework in a sort of way, see like what your interpretation of my team is, what do I think of your team, because it was all on a Google Drive spreadsheet. And it was kind of funny because some people would take it super seriously. Some people would try their best to deviate from the norm. And of course, some people on the last second were just trying to copy somebody else's work. So it was kind of like high school all over again.
Yeah, okay. But here's what, I like this little posting though. This was interesting because it was a consensus ranking that the Heat would be the top team in the league again next year.
Yeah, I completely agree. Until someone knocks them off at this stage, what is it? August? They're the number one team. No doubt about it. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Greg Oden, completely unstoppable.
Well, I wouldn't count. I knew that. I'm not a Heat fan at all, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah, you just said you're a Knicks and Celtics fan, so you would hate the Heat.
Oh, with every fiber of my being. Really, I do. But what I hate the most about them, though, is the way they put that team together. LeBron.
Yeah, tampering?
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is this. What I always found interesting, and I'm not picking on LeBron James, obviously he's demonstrated that he can step up, I guess, when he's got a couple other Hall of Famers next to him, and last year's case, 3. But it was interesting to me that none of them wanted to come join him. He had to go join somebody else. I always found that interesting. What did you think about him? What do you think about that statement? You can disagree all you like. It's okay.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I'd just like to say, if I had a choice of living as a professional athlete in Miami, in Cleveland, or in Toronto, it's not that hard of a decision. But at the same time, Toronto definitely out in terms of roster. Cleveland probably had a more championship caliber team at that stage, but they all still decided to go to Miami. I think probably a lot of that deals with Florida's tax laws and the weather. But you're right. If these three guys were dead set on joining one another, and we're talking about Wade and Chris Bosh and LeBron, they chose the more Hollywood route, but at the same time, you know, you see that Miami has a lot of depth problems, And if they had picked one of the other teams, probably Cleveland, they wouldn't have had these problems. So that's what I think. And you're right. LeBron couldn't get guys to come to him. He had to go somewhere else.
And I always found that interesting. Maybe because they all thought he was a choker.
Well, that was definitely the idea back then. And I guess the more I haven't really thought about this before, but the more I look at it, like Wade had that reputation of being a do-it-all clutch guy who can get it done in the NBA Finals. So maybe he had a little bit of seniority in the situation, but this is definitely something that we need to investigate a little bit more, because aside from my initial idea that, you know, there's no way that these guys are getting this stuff done, this has to be tampering on some level. But I guess for now, hats off to them. They've been to the Finals 3 years in a row. It's very hard to make it four.
But according to the SB Nation head writers, it looks that way. And that's okay.
Well, they could be ranked number one, but you know, the number one seed always doesn't win.
Well, exactly.
Like, as a Utah Jazz fan, I know that because we were the number one a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. You do know that, don't you? And they have Oklahoma City Thunder at number two. How did you feel about that?
Well, I don't necessarily remember my ranking. I do think that I probably put OKC number two because I felt like Russell Westbrook coming back, they'll be motivated. They probably were thinking that we were a team that was built to beat the Heat. Maybe if we need it, maybe if we were healthy, we would have. And I guess like when a team underachieves, either through performance or through injuries, they do feel a little bit more motivation. They know that their window is, you know, they're all still young, but in order to get things done with this CBA under this core, you know, they have to start winning these games when they count. They want to go back to the finals. I think that they've made some good additions. They addressed some of the problems with Kendrick Perkins by getting Steven Adams. He's a rookie, but he looks kind of ready to contribute. He's a lot better than people thought he would be at this stage. And, you know, at the very least, he could be a replacement Nick Collison down the line, which is something they are going to need anyway. I think the Thunder are going to be all right if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I have them actually at number three in the West.
Oh, well, who do you have ahead of them?
I have San Antonio at number one, and I have Memphis at number two.
Yeah, no, that is actually something that is very possible. You can never count the Spurs out, especially after they've reloaded. They're so close to winning it. I don't think we've ever seen a team so close to actually winning the finals lose it. They technically had it at the end of game six if it wasn't for Ray Allen. But Memphis is a little bit tough for me because I don't know if they've diversified their flaws so much by getting better shooters to surround their inside game. But I do like their ball control. I do like the way that they take control of the pace of the game, so they're able to mitigate some of their flaws. Like, if they're able to get Mo Williams, and it seems like I bring him up every week, and I'm not really that big of a Mo Williams fan, but he's one of the point guards who's still available right now, and I think there were some rumors that he was trying to go to Memphis. He could be a good guy off the bench to just spread the floor for Gasol and Z-Bo.
I like Memphis. I thought they played pretty well last year. I thought they were a shooter away. I think they got that shooter. If they get Mo Williams, they're even going to be better. But I have this feeling that Mo Williams is going to wind up with the Spurs. But that's neither here nor there. Now, the Indiana Pacers, they have them ranked at the final ranking of number four. And Indiana, of all the teams in the East, Indiana reloaded, didn't they?
Yeah, they completely did. A lot of teams, or a lot of fans, casual fans, don't know how good Luis Scola actually is because he's been kind of out of sight, out of mind for a little while playing in Phoenix. But he's everything that they wanted Tyler Hansbrough to become. And like, he's a starter quality power forward. He's a veteran. He knows how to rebound. He knows how to get his own shot. He's made their bench that much better. And they already had one of the best benches out there. And people are going to be hungrier. I really like what they've done. I'm a bit worried that they're still like an injury away from being derailed, but I think that's the case with most teams in the league anyway. I like Indiana. I think that they play defense, which has always been a problem for some of these teams, these flashier teams.
I think Indiana's going to come out of the East. They had the Heat's back side big time in the acquisition. They re-signed David West, big score.
Chris and Copeland, they got him for cheap.
Yeah. They got Chris Copeland from the Knicks, who is going to help them score, hit a few threes if someone plays them.
He's definitely good downtown.
Watch out for the Indiana Pacers, my friends. Watch out for them. My pick in the East right there. I'll tell you that today on August the 5th or August the 6th, 2013. I'm going with the Pacers.
Yeah, and Reggie Miller will unretire and sign for cheap if they're looking good.
And he'll score points.
We'll try and get that ring that he's missing.
And he's going to try to catch Ray Allen.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at that today. It was super close. So it was very, very fortuitous that you brought that up, because I was looking at these all-time ranks and like, wow, Ray Allen he's already number one. As anyone can catch him, it will probably have to be Reggie, because otherwise, you know, no one's going to get close.
You have Judas Shuttlesworth.
Yeah, no, he got game for sure.
He had game. Now he's in Miami where he is the game. He's nothing but a trick. Anyway.
Or they're cheating the game.
Anyway, we'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to continue looking at this NBA power rankings from the SBNation.com basketball writers. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Cosmic Music, 24/7 on CosmicRadio.com. CosmicRadio.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
TalkSuperStation.com.
That's right, the superstation of talk.
Talking to you each and every day.
We have a lot to talk about.
Monday.
Government is not the answer. Health is the answer.
Hey guys, I'm here.
Tuesday.
The Yankees are always good.
We are going to go for old timers now.
Well, I think I feel. I'm a Mets fan. We have clothespin.
Wednesday.
You and I are staying put.
Thank goodness, because I have no socks on, and staying put is what I need to do.
Thursday.
I would love Martin to get Sheen actually decided to run for president. I would vote for him.
Friday.
You know how hard it is to get a topic not about sports on ESPN Radio? It's about as hard as me introducing sports on this show.
Saturday.
It's time to party.
And Sunday.
How can we respect anyone in Washington, D.C.?
Every day, we talk to you.
Sit back and enjoy this.
Talk Superstation.
I'm on the air.
.com. Talk. Spoken here.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that spout the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. The Reggie commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. Joining us again for the second half of the program is Amar from SLCDunk.com, and we are looking at some SB Nation writers' opinions as to who they believe the preseason power rankings should be. And in no way are we disparaging any of the amazing bloggers, many of them who are guests on the show, but we are free to disagree, and they have the Los Angeles Clippers at number 5. I completely disagree with that. Where do you like the? Do you like the Clippers? Do you like this pick?
I don't know. I think that they're totally all in. Chris Paul being the coach and the general manager and the star player, he's not fooling around. They got JJ Redick. They got who was that shooter from Phoenix? He's always injured anyway, so it's not really a big difference maker, but. I think the Clippers are going to be okay. I don't know if they're going to be top five in the league, though, because they're always good for a few injuries, especially when their entire big man rotation is two dudes.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big Chris Paul fan, and you called that right. General manager, coach. I don't know how he's going to feel or how he's going to relate to Doc Rivers. And on this show on Thursday, I made a statement that I didn't think that Doc Rivers would be all that in L.A. I really don't think he can put this bunch together.
Well, I think the players will respect him, but he doesn't have a Thibodeau on his roster to fix their defense. And that's what the Clippers have a real problem with.
And that's exactly right. J.A. Sherman was on the show, and he asked me what the difference was with Doc Rivers' 2008 basketball team with the Celtics, and I said Kevin Garnett. And then what I really should have said was Tom Thibodeau, because it was the defense that won that championship. And when he left to coach the Bulls, that team was never the same again, was it?
Yeah, he took the defense with them. And Chris Paul is okay, but no player can really defend the pick and roll if both parts aren't trying that hard. DeAndre Jordan, he is laterally quick for a man his size, but at the same time, he doesn't give that type of defensive effort all the time. And Blake Griffin is an absolute turnstile. I think one of us could score on him. And that's mainly because he doesn't try on defense, because he wants to save his energy for dunks.
That makes sense. I agree with you completely. Steve Perrin will be on the show later this week, and we can.
Oh no!
Oh no! No, it's okay, man. He's a good guy, and
he's lovely.
He's used to hearing all this stuff, so he's been hearing this stuff for years and years and years. So,
well, I think it's fair to doubt the Clippers, particularly because they haven't shown a consistency with advancing out of the first round. I know they've added some more shooters, but I think it's the defense that's the problem. And The defense was a problem with the Utah Jazz, but they decided on trying to solve that by adding better firepower, and it didn't really work for us. I don't know if it's going to work for the Clippers just because they're in a big market.
Well, that ought to be interesting. Anyway, moving on, the Chicago Bulls, who I think are a much better team than the Clippers, are sitting at number six.
I think a lot of that rides on not necessarily their new additions, because they didn't make a huge splash in the free agency market, but like, Derrick Rose is a game changer when he's healthy and his mind is set. And not to tell too many tales out of school, but physically I think he was okay to go last year, but something just wasn't right. If he somehow found out how to get back to playing basketball, being aggressive, you know, the sky's the limit, especially in the Eastern Conference, where it's basically one super team, another team full of really old guys, and Indiana. You know, the Bulls could actually not only be a top four team, but be a top three team in the East if they get everything working, and that starts with Derrick Rose. And, you know, I think that he has a chance to be really special still in this league, and not just be a Jay Williams type.
Oh, I think he's going to be okay. I think you're right, too. I think he sat back, assessed the situation, and says, look, I'll just wait this out, play a full season, and lead this team again. I still don't think they're as good as the Pacers. I think the Pacers are the best team in the East by far. But the Bulls play a very physical game. I like that part. I love watching them play Miami. I love watching them take a swipe at our boy King James. And I love watching King James cry. Because he still does. You know, I've never seen a guy like an MVP cry as much as this guy does. And make excuses.
That's so very true. And LeBron is a very talented guy, but I think that you can look at flaws in his game or flaws in the way that he's handled himself. But to get back to the Bulls, I think you said it best. It's about defense for them. Deng and Noah need to have their minutes managed a little bit more, I think. It's going to be tough for the Bulls because they may miss Nate Robinson's swagger and, you know, unreasonable confidence. He was a big part of their defense last year by disrupting things, and he wasn't afraid to take shots for them. If Rose is back and healthy, that's perfect. But if Rose is going to be nursed back slowly, they may miss a guy like Nate Robb, who's only 5'9". So I guess they don't measure the size of your heart, which dovetails quite nicely with your whole idea about LeBron and his crying.
Absolutely. I don't even have to go anywhere with that, do I? Moving on, we've got the Rockets at number 7. The Rockets?
Yeah, I really don't know about this one. It's putting too much faith into the idea of Dwight Howard rehabilitating his image and being more than just a guy who scores 16 or 17 points in a game. James Harden, he's great. He's fantastic. He gets the line. He penetrates. He hits the three. He's kind of everything that you want. Jeremy Lin was not so spectacular. They have so many three-point shooters. It's almost silly to name all of them because you're going to end up forgetting someone and feel stupid. So I won't even begin with that. But Dwight, like, Omer Asik helps them with their defense. He gets rebounds. And now he's going to be grumbling because some prima donna is playing in front of him. And I don't know. Dwight is the guy that you build your team around. Maybe they're building around Harden, but I still don't see that as a top 10 team in the NBA. Well, maybe they are a top 10 team. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm a Jazz fan and I hate the Rockets.
Well, I have really not much to do with the Rockets. Brandon Davis comes on the show every week from the Dream Shake. But, nah, man, this team is going to have problems. Real problems. And the real problem is going to be Dwight Howard, because it's all about Dwight. And he's going to run into – I tapped this team the beard and the weird.
I'm going to steal that. That's excellent. And I agree. And I think Dwight Howard has displayed a chronic misunderstanding of how to rise to an occasion. Or he wants all of the attention with none of the responsibility. Playing in a place where Yao Ming, Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, you know, there's going to be some level of responsibility in that, like, you have to live up to these type of expectations. You know, the Dream went to the NBA Finals in, I believe, his second season in the league or something. It took him 12 years to get back, but, you know, that's... If the Rockets... If Daryl Morey doesn't get what he wants out of Dwight, I don't think that he's going to hold on to him forever.
No, he's out of there. Kevin McHale's not going to be able to handle him. And Dwight Howard is a known coach killer. He's killed every coach he's ever had since the time he turned pro. Yeah. You never know what Dwight Howard's going to do. But, yeah, they're a good team. They're going to be all right. They're going to be like a fourth seed in the West probably. But, nah. Oof. Anyway, let's move on to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's in the house. Yeah, oh,
Brooklyn's
my goodness.
In the house. They're the number eight. You got the boys from SB Nation have them ranked at number eight. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I actually like the Nets because they're like, they've collected a number of Utah Jazz players. Okay. I like what, I think Paul Pierce still has something in the tank. Kevin Garnett is a warrior. He's never going to back down. If Joe Johnson gets healthy and stops being super inefficient, that's a huge if. You know, they could be a spoiler. They should get at least 8 playoff wins this year, get to the second round, maybe get to the East Finals, just upon the pedigree of the players they have right now. The big question mark is going to be Jason Kidd, a rookie coach, former player, played with some of these guys on all-star teams and Olympic teams before, but he's never held the clipboard before. So that's going to be the question. Will refs respect him if he's yelling at them to get fouls? I don't know. But that, I think they could be a good team. And they're on my League Pass watch list for sure.
They're from Brooklyn. I don't watch that. No. You know something? You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
And, oh, my goodness.
And Brooklyn Nets are still a pig.
This is the Knicks fan talking here.
I just don't like this team at all. Never have, never will. They are the same bunch of bums they were when they were in Jersey, even when Jason Kidd was there. But this is the question mark for me. How long will Jason Kidd go before he ends up popping one of those two coach killers over there in Joe Johnson and
Darren Williams?
And Darren Williams, yeah. And you know, the other thing is this too, is this for me, is how long Kevin Garnett's going to tolerate those two coach killers. Kevin Garnett doesn't play. Paul Pierce don't play. It ought to be interesting. You know, I said this before. I'll say it again. Jason Kidd is not stupid. He got his policeman in there. He went for the cop and he got him in Kevin Garnett. Those guys, neither of those two fugazis, Darren Williams and Joe Johnson, are even going to remotely come close to getting in Kevin Garnett's face.
No, of course not. Yeah, and it was necessary. It was without Garnett or Paul Pierce, guys who have been there, guys who have rings, guys know that they're only playing the game to win more rings. Like, they know what their aim is. They know that there's no messing around. It's not okay just to make the playoffs and flame out. They're in it to win it. And I think that you're right. Like, they will lead by example. People are going to shut up. You know, Jason Kidd's won a ring, but he kind of rode the coattails to get that with Dirk. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting season in Brooklyn. They're, who knows what other players their billionaire owner is just going to snatch up somehow in the next few months. But, you know, I honestly think that the rivalry is going to be even more interesting this year with Brooklyn and the Knicks.
Well, it's not really a rivalry, technically.
Right.
Because it's still the same New Jersey Net bunch. But
yeah, Derek Coleman and, yeah.
Yeah, these guys are just awful. And they'll be better this year, but we'll have to see. Andre Kirilenko was a good pickup for them too, but again, we'll have to see what happens. Now, moving on, they have the Memphis Grizzlies at number 9. I completely disagree with that. What do you think about the Grizz at number 9?
I think that they're undervaluing the benefit of continuity and the benefit of actually having a team that knows their role and knows how to do things. And like, Memphis is probably not going to win 60 games. I freely admit that, but when it counts, are they really a bottom 10, you know, bottom of the top 10? I actually don't know, because I do value those things like consistency and continuity. And, you know, all it takes is for Houston to do something dumb, get injured, and for the Clippers to not be able to play defense, and I could definitely see Memphis climbing up this rank very soon.
Well, I tell you what, Memphis did pretty well. They've got a couple of big men. I look for them to make a big move. I look for Zach Randolph to be gone by halfway point of the season. They're going to make a big move, and they're going to be all right. Marc Gasol's a great player. Mike Miller's a great player. Mike Connolly stepped up in an amazing way last year. I really like him. And they have so many other little parts that seem to work. They've taken small market basketball, patterned it after the San Antonio Spurs, and have done a really good job. I just really enjoy watching that team. I enjoy Kevin Leip over at Grizzly Bear Blues. He comes on here every week as well. And I think that that team is just better. Golden State at number 10. That's not a bad place to put them, I don't think.
Well, I'm not so sure. Like, they really came up big last year. And they had a breakout season, especially Stephen Curry. But it's kind of like a high-risk, high-reward thing. This is kind of like looking at draft picks. Like, do you draft the Warriors based on the fact that they look really good, they're sexy, they're exciting, they take a lot of three-pointers, or are you worried about them because their entire team can be derailed by injuries again? Andrew Bogut, injured every year of his career. Curry, he has a injury history, which you have to really worry about. Golden State, are they talented enough to be top 10? Absolutely, especially with some of their young guys getting better, like Clay and Harrison Barnes. But I don't know. I'm not really sold on Mark Jackson as a coach. I know he's a St. John's guy and a Knicks guy and played for the Pacers, and he's a vet's vet. But I really think that the wheels can fall off quite quickly here if something doesn't click in. Like, it's easy to play loose when there's no expectations, but this year there's going to be expectations, and I'm not so certain that the Warriors are going to be able to reach those expectations.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I have with that team isn't Mark Jackson. It's more importantly, it is Steph Curry and how healthy he's going to be. He's always going to miss time because that left ankle's, well, it's been banged up enough to where we know it's going to happen.
And people know to step on him.
Exactly.
And that's the scouting report.
And they do. Yeah. And that's just it. Now, my thing is, and I have them at the sick, in my preview I did last Thursday, I have them at number 6. And the reason I do is because I think that David Lee or Klay Thompson, one of those two are going to get moved for a bigger piece. I think it's going to take some time. I also think that losing Jarrett Jack was probably a bigger loss than they want to admit. They couldn't afford to re-sign him, but I think he's going to be a great fit. I believe he signed with the Pacers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The rich get richer. Well, we can't really write off the Warriors completely because they did make that big trade to get Iguodala, and automatically he brings that star power. Ideally, it's another guy that the refs are going to respect. You know, he can facilitate. He can play defense. He even made a lot of threes in the playoffs, which is odd for him because that's not really his go-to game with the Denver Nuggets. But no, it's worrisome because I think they live and die with Clay. I mean, not with Clay, with Steph, just like you said. So as he goes, they will go. And if he's unable to go, if he's banged up by the time the playoffs come, you know, they're going to have a hard time. I don't believe the hype with the Warriors. Maybe that's just me being a hater.
Well, I like watching them. They're exciting to watch, but I'm not so sure they're going to be there either.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Chris Mullin, Tim Hardaway, and Mitch Richmond were really fun to watch too. But, you know, they didn't win. Jack, can I swear on this? Sorry.
You can. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors have won jack shit in the last 30 years, and they're going to win jack shit in the next 30. That's just the way I feel.
And that's fair enough. The New York Knicks at number 11. I think that's about fair. Maybe a little lower for me, I think. What about you? What do you like about the Knicks?
I like the way that they're unafraid to go for guys and make moves. Ron Artest, I mean, Meta World Peace or whatever the hell he's going to use as his name this year. You know, he's finally playing in front of his home crowd. He's going to give it 110%. Carmelo, he's got to step up. And, you know, I think he's doing some of that. They got Bargnani, who maybe he's going to do better, not having the pressure of being that number one guy anymore. You know, even if he's just coming off the bench and spreading the floor, being basically a rich man Steve Novak, I think he can do that. The Knicks are probably going to be okay. People just like to maximize all of their failures and minimize all of their successes because they're in New York.
I think the Knicks are going to win the Atlantic Division. I think they're going to win 52 games and get to the semifinals. That's as far as I have them. I think they did really well in the offseason. I think the one thing that troubles me about the Knicks is last year, if you remember, they shot a lot of threes. They lived and died by the three, and now all those guys are gone. So it really is the Carmelo Anthony, me, myself, and Melo show to showcase his upcoming free agency.
Well, they did add some other guys. Tim Hardaway Jr. from Michigan, he's a solid shooter. Like I said, Bargnani. Is Pablo coming back? I think Pablo's coming back, right?
Yep, he is, sure.
Yeah, no, he's going to be good. I think the Knicks are, they can very easily win the Atlantic Division if they're all on the same page. If it's just going to be an audition for Melo this season, then it's going to be very tough for the team to build harmony and that cohesion that they need on the court if he's throwing up 25 shots a game.
Oh, he'll be throwing up 25 shots a game. This is Me, Myself, and Melo show now, and it's ISO Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson needs to be fired immediately. You should have fired him last year.
It's the same Joe Johnson offense from his Atlanta days.
Except Carmelo's a little more competitive on offense, at least. But yeah, it's the same thing, absolutely. The Minnesota Timberwolves at number 12.
This is interesting because it's people don't know that they're actually not that bad. They've been pretty bad since forever, but Kevin Love is a legit player, and Ricky Rubio is going to be back from injury. They fixed their defense by getting Dieng. He'll play as backup center. They're probably going to be re-signing Pekovic in a few moments. They're just hammering out the final details. And they've added some versatility on their wing spots. They got Shabazz Muhammad, who's always a very interesting guy. No matter what you have to say about him, how old he is, or why he wasn't a star at UCLA, or was he too hyped, you know, maybe what he needs to be is that fourth best player on the floor. And I think in Minnesota, he's going to be exactly that dude. And maybe that's his role where he will thrive.
Yeah, maybe. I still think Kevin Love's going to get traded.
Oh, no. If he gets traded, then Minnesota is definitely tanking.
No. They won't be tanking. They're going to trade him to the Lakers for Paul Gasol. And that way, Ricky Rubio can be reunited with his pal. You know, last year, Ricky Rubio spent more time worried about Paul Gasol's minutes in L.A. than he did anything else in Minnesota, and I could tell, and it was easy to tell. I don't hold up much hope for the Timberwolves.
Every time Paul Gasol has been on a team in the NBA with another Spanish player, and this has happened a few times, that team has stunk. The Grizzlies once traded for Raul Lopez, and they just stunk with Pau Gasol and Lopez. Lopez was the Ricky Rubio of 10 years ago for Spain. And then they got, I'm forgetting his name, Juan Carlos Navarro, and they sucked. I don't think adding more Spaniards to Gasol is going to help him out. It's nice for the reporters, but time has shown that that doesn't work out in the NBA. And I guess that's like, it's the same thing. Like when you try and double up on guys on the idea that their chemistry will be better based upon their nationality, it shuts out the rest of the team. Like when Portland had Victor Krafia and Sergei Monia, they would just do their own thing and they wouldn't actually play the game with the three other guys. So, you know, that's my idea. Unless you have five guys from the same country, you know, maybe that'll work. Maybe five American guys. Who knows? That seems to work so far.
I don't know. That might be interesting. What Minnesota is Minnesota. 12 is about right. We've have to see. We had about a minute and a half.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're top 15 in the league.
We got about a minute and a half. They have Denver at number 13, Atlanta at number 14, and Portland at number 15. Do you agree with those? Because I think those three are all interchangeable parts of basically not much to see there.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. They're super interchangeable. Who knows how Millsap's going to be with Atlanta? Who knows how Portland is going to incorporate another combo point guard? You know, it'll be interesting. And they're solid teams. I just don't think that they're bringing a championship home this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. None of those teams are going to bring a championship home. And then you have the Pelicans, the Wizards, and the Cavaliers. I don't think any of those are going to do anything. I don't think Andrew Bynum is going to help Cleveland much. It's certainly not going to entice LeBron James to come over, that's for sure. And then the rest of the teams are what they are. You know, the Pistons, Raptors, Bucks. Well, basically what you have here is this. You have the Rucker Park Street Legends, the Milwaukee Bucks. And then you have the Rucker Park Street Legends Part 2, or .20, and the Detroit Pistons. Neither of those teams are going to go anywhere, in my opinion. But, wow, dude, we burned up the entire hour. Amar, thank you so much. You did a great job with me. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. And just for all the fans who are listening, please follow Phil on Twitter. I know we were talking some shit about people on Twitter, but like with all of the work that he does, he definitely needs more followers, more than me for sure. And you can catch him at FlashTennis31. Follow him.
That was awfully nice of you because I never talk about Twitter or Facebook, my own anyway. That was great. Anyway, you can find Amar over at slcdunk.com, and I insist that you do. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks once again to Amar for hanging around, filling in for a last-second cancellation. We did an entirely different show than we'd planned, but it's still good and all good in the hood. It was a lot of fun talking basketball. Tomorrow night, Mark Berman and I are going to have a great time talking about the New York Mets. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.